Congratulations! You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We are now joined by Lisa Eyre, who has not only founded a new petition to stop the gene technology bill, which is currently making its way through Parliament, but Lisa also founded Lisa's Hummus, which is an incredible hummus brand. Good morning to you, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
I'm very glad to hear that. You said that you're currently in Tamaki and it's a bit dry. How is it in general in the winter?
Damp where I live. I live in Titirangi, which is in the bush, and it's pretty damp.
Right. You a big fan of the bush?
I love nature, mm-hmm. but I still rather hanker for my English background and the English countryside.
Much chiller, I imagine. Much, much more relaxing. Now, you founded Lisa's Hummus, and you don't have any involvement with it anymore, correct?
No, I don't.
Do you have a favourite hummus that you've made from Lisa's Hummus?
Yes, the capsicum one.
It's my favourite too. What the hell? Oh. That's my favourite. I love. It's like the real smoky barbecue flavour.
Yes.
It's incredible. Did you try the new jalapeno one?
I don't do spicy.
Oh, fair. Okay. No, that's very, very English move.
there's a really nice one called Everything Hummus, which is not jalapeno. It's something else. Which I like, which is one of the new ones that the new company's developed.
Oh, cool. Mm. They just put out a jalapeno flavour recently, which is really, really tasty. But let's get talking about this petition and GMOs in general. Now, do you think there's any space for using GMOs in our world for, say, medicine, fibres or food?
Medicine, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough. I mean, I'm not being a scientist, I don't know enough, but but in the environment and the food, I'd say absolutely not, because GM. Well, I'd call them GE, genetically engineered now, yeah. Which is the new way of saying GMOs. And once they get out into the environment, you can't put them back. Mm. It's like, you know, opening Pandora's box, and there's something comes out. If there's a problem with it, you know. What happens? Mm. You can't put it back in. Mm. Like, you know, some of the other things, like, for example, I grew up in the days when thalidomide was given to pregnant mothers for morning sickness. Mm. And some children turned out with, you know, only half an arm or, you know, awful things like that. But they could stop that because they just stopped giving it to people. But with putting it into the environment, we don't know what happens, and it spreads because the wind will blow the pollen and the bees and other insects will travel from plant to plant.
Birds as well.
You can't just keep it in a couple of fields. It will go everywhere. Mm. And the wonderful thing about New Zealand is that we've got sea all round us. Mm. So the pollen spread and the insects, that's not going to happen here in New Zealand. So we've got a business opportunity to be the GE-free country in the world. Mm. And already the organics industry is growing frantically because organics aren't supporting GE. Mm. Or, you know, it can't be organic if it's GE. So yeah. We've got $10 to $20 million worth of exports going out of New Zealand that are GE free. Now, if we wreck that, what do we do to our exports? That's a stupid idea for a start. And also, GE can go from plant to plant. So could it actually change our native plants? Could it change that? Mm.
That's a good question. But I want to touch on what you said about GE being unable to be contained, because it's been about 25 years since the Corngate scandal, where a small amount of US genetically engineered corn was accidentally released, and the Clark government attempted to cover it up until New Zealand journalist legend Nikki Hager wrote a book about the incident. But that seems like the corn from that incident was contained, no?
If they caught it in time.
Mm. But it's quite
I would assume it was contained.
Because I haven't heard of any wild corn going around the country yet.
No. I think it must have been quite small. Mm. But, you know, once you get whole fields and fields planted,
yeah,
The other thing is, you know, you might have heard there's been a big fuss about glyphosate.
Is that something to do with corn?
Well, it is to do with corn, but it's also to do with our crops in New Zealand. And they are increasing the amount of glyphosate that can be used on crops enormously. And they're doing that right now. Mm. And that is because a lot of those GE crops are designed to be able to be sprayed with glyphosate without killing the crop.
Yeah.
So there's your connection. And I mean, if you don't want a lot of chemicals on your food,
yeah,
you certainly don't want to eat GE food.
No, that's very true. But where were you 25 years ago when the Corngate scandal happened? Was that something that you were paying attention to at the time? Because that seems like it was quite a big moment for New Zealand's genetic engineering kind of history.
I wasn't paying a lot of attention, quite frankly. I was at home with a couple of babies.
But, fair enough.
But then when I started making hummus, I looked into it, and I thought, this is not something that I want to put in the food that I have.
Yeah.
And so I checked all my products, and none of them were genetically engineered in those days, none of the ingredients. So I was able to put GMO-free on the front of the bottles. Mm. And I think that's how we got the message about GMOs out to the general public, to be perfect. Mm. People started asking questions. When they asked the questions, they didn't like the answers, really. And people still don't want to eat genetically engineered food. Mm. And what's going to happen here, if this gene technology bill goes through, is they're going to not allow labeling. So we won't know whether it's genetically engineered or not. And that's, to me, extremely unfair, extremely undemocratic.
Yep.
And this government should not be doing that.
I totally agree with that. There's one really interesting bit of research I found. Market researcher Liz Morley did a survey into the New Zealand public opinion about gene technology. A third of the participants believed that genetically engineered crops were grown in New Zealand, with a quarter thinking that genetic editing of livestock was happening. Neither of those is true, which demonstrates a real lack of public knowledge. And I think that's something that the government is playing with this bill, correct?
I would absolutely agree.
Weaponizing ignorance. So,
yes. Also, a lot of I don't know about South Island, but when you're driving around North Island, it has Pioneer or something like that on the side of the field, and people thought that that meant that they were genetically engineered crops, but it didn't mean that, and that's why they're confused. And I think that was done very deliberately, quite some years ago.
Mm. Sorry, what does the Pioneer sign mean?
Well, it's just a brand of seed.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Also, I mean, there's the other issue that some crops are hybrid, you know, and they are bred to be a certain way, but that is done naturally. Mm. That is not done by splicing genes in a laboratory. Mm. So it's a different thing. And I mean, did you know that carrots used to be purple?
They did. I've actually got some I've got some yellow and purple carrots in my fridge at home from the farmer's market.
Yeah. Oh, right. Lovely. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, and then they kind of bred the carrots to encourage the orange ones.
Because orange was selling more than purple ones, for whatever reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's how. But, you know, so crops do change all the time. And what are the nectarines? I think are a mixture of a plum and a peach, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But that's done naturally, so you know that's to my mind okay. Our guts are designed to digest that, but I'm not sure that our guts are designed to digest artificial food.
I don't know if it's a matter of digestion. I mean, there might be some random case where it's a bit unsafe, but I think a lot of like the FDA in the States and some of our like food regulation state regulators are pretty good at ensuring that, you know, genetic engineered foods wouldn't have a negative impact on us. I'm sure about that.
Well, there hasn't been enough research.
No,
that's the problem, and that is the problem that's businesses, because GE is all about business and big business owning farming. So it's about big ag taking the power away from the smaller farmer.
Yes.
And as they're doing that, now where was I going with that? I'm forgotten exactly where I was going.
I think I know what you're talking about, because what happens is a big agricultural company like Monsanto can flood the market with their corn seed and basically monopolize corn. That is a terrifying thought. And that, I think, has less to do with the worries about genetic engineering, personally for me, but more to do with the worries about how our economies work and kind of rampant capitalism, so to speak. But I agree with you. That is a major concern. That is a major concern.
Yes. So I didn't answer your question quite right, but...
No, you're okay. You're okay. What do you think, though? I mean, we talked about this just before about the differences between selective breeding and genetic engineering. One's a form of genetic engineering that's done naturally, I guess you could say, but the other is in a lab. But what do you think about problems like climate change? You know, we definitely need to build crops that have resilience to the changing weather patterns that are happening. Do you think that's a legitimate use of genetic engineering for food? Because if we don't have it, our crops might be in bad shape, and we might be at, a lot of risk.
I don't think that they have developed anything that successfully does that. I mean, genetic engineering has a huge number of failures. I don't think that that's going to make much difference, to be perfectly honest. I think we just have to adapt with what we grow rather than try and keep growing what we always grow and make it and change it, change it to, but we can still have the same corn or whatever. I think it would be much better that we then look at, well, what are we growing? And it's getting hotter here or it's getting wetter there. And people will just have to be prepared to make changes in what they eat, because we're going to have to do that with crops coming in from overseas. Chocolate and coffee are already being affected, so the prices go up.
Don't talk to me about the chocolate prices, man. It's Whittaker's is nearly $8 a block at the supermarket.
And that's my favorite.
What's your favorite Whittaker's flavor? Just creamy milk or something else?
Hazella.
Oh, Hazella's a good flavour. It's a beautiful flavour, yeah. I definitely think there's a lot of middle ground between us. And if people would like to go sign your petition to stop the gene technology bill, where can they find that?
They can't, unfortunately, because it just closed.
It just closed?
Yes.
Oh, well, you'd be launching another one anytime soon.
I think it's quite possible, yes.
Quite possible.
So keep a look out for those, the petitions, on social media, because... I think we need to do another one, but my one is going to be presented to Parliament on the 15th of July.
Uh-huh.
And anyone who's in Wellington at the time, midday on the Tuesday, the 15th of July, and at 1 o'clock, the MP Deborah Russell will come out and receive the petition. So
wow.
You can support it that way if you happen to be... I don't know, have you got holidays at the moment?
We, funnily enough, do have student holidays right now. Unfortunately, our student holidays, I think they end on the 15th. I think that's when people come back to the city. Yeah, it is. That's when we, unfortunately. I just got back from a holiday in Wellington, funnily enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was lovely. But people can keep an eye out for the, I guess, news about the gene technology bill, because it is still going through all the different parliamentary processes. And hopefully your petition will temper the bill and introduce more debate on the subject. Because if we are going to go forward with it, people need to be in the know about what it actually means for our country.
Absolutely. And you can write to your MP too and tell them what you think about it. Mm-hmm. Labour, the Greens and the Maori Party are against the bill, in its current form, or definitely, I think they're against the bill, full stop. But the people that will really maybe sitting on the fence is the New Zealand First Party.
Right.
Well, so if you can write to those MPs as well and encourage them, that would be to stand against the bill, then the bill will go down.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the program, Lisa. I really appreciate it. And thank you for your time. And I hope that Auckland treats you well for the rest of the year.
Thank you so much. That's very nice.
Thank you very much. All right.
Thanks.
Here is, here is, that was Lisa Eyre, the founder of Lisa's Hummus and the founder of a petition to stop the gene technology bill, which is currently going through the House. We're going to be playing a sort of nature-y themed track. We've got Marvin Gaye's Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology, which is all about, I guess you could say, environmental destruction, which is something that GEs could bring. If they are not regulated correctly. Here's Marv.
That was a Radio 191 FM podcast. Find more at r1.co.nz.